With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to Stretford Paddock. This is the Paddock podcast. It's actually the Devil's podcast these
Devil's
days, isn't
podcast.
It?
Bloody hell.
I was going to say.
Kicked him out.
Come on, Joe.
I'm joined today by Alex, you all right?
Yeah, good, mate.
Ronaldo, how are you doing?
I'm good, mate.
Eating your Haribos?
I'm hungry.
Which That's Haribo was that? Which shape? Do you remember?
Star mix, but that was a heart.
That was a heart with the foam.
Love
the foam. And Freddie Quinn.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good, mate.
Back on the podcast,
second week running.
Regular feature.
Back to back.
Special.
How is everyone today then? We're going to be talking to start with a little bit about this Gareth Bale situation that seems to be unfolding, whether we like it or not. Man United may be looking at Gareth Bale as an option, as a loan on the right-hand side, instead of Jadon Sancho, who looks like he may have gone a bit cold in terms of a transfer. It's looking as though Bale's up for it, despite seemingly not caring about football for the last 2 years. I'll go to you first, Ronaldo. Is this absolutely insane or what? Or do you, like, we've said there the title, is Bale Sancho's 2.0?
Is it insane though?
Well, that's
it's
what
like now, but obviously a question to a question, but it's like...
yeah, you've got Guy Ritchie on me now, aren't you?
It's like, what, Tenet? No, not
is
no,
it
that.
Insane?
No, but it's like the Di Maria Falcao all over
is
again.
It
really, it's similar. It's like you've got, it's kind of the same status level, but obviously it's a man that's been out of favour for quite a while at Real Madrid. And if he actually cares about football and wants to ignite his career, why would he not want to come to United? That's how I see it.
Di Maria wasn't he 27 when we bought him? And he'd just come off being the man of the match in the Champions League final. Gareth Bale has hardly played for 18 months.
But Falcao came when his knee basically exploded. Like after,
he did.
He had no knees.
He did. Yeah, his knee exploded and then he came to United.
Yeah.
What do you think, Freddie? Gareth Bale.
The best you can say about it is it's a gamble.
Yeah. So, at best, it's a gamble.
Best, look, if we get the Gareth Bale of 5 years ago, or even the Gareth Bale of 3 years ago, he's going to come straight into United's team and he's going to improve him for the better. And I think... short term, it's an option. Mm. But this is a guy that's barely played football in 2 years. You can't just... look, so much has been put into changing the culture at United, getting rid of the mercenaries, getting rid of the people that are just there for the paycheck and getting young, hungry players in. That's been the absolute bedrock of everything we've been doing for at least 2 years. So why are we even linked with him?
Yeah.
Unless it's trying to put a bit of pressure on Dortmund, who I imagine don't give the tiniest of shits.
Maybe one tiny little, like a little rabbit poo. Not even that, you don't think?
Like a small...
yeah, like one of the ones where you find like a mouse poo and you're like, is that even poo or is it just like old rice?
If you had to put Sancho and Bale next to each other right now and say who's a better player, what would you all say?
Sancho.
It's without question, isn't it?
At this point.
Now, if you had to say
at this point, obviously,
who's a better player, Sancho or Prime Bale, then probably Prime Bale.
We've seen him do it in a Prime.
You don't know what Prime Sancho is going to look like.
That's true.
This is it. So I don't get why we would even consider a 31-year-old player who hasn't played regular football in 2 years, who quite clearly is picking up paychecks at this point, because otherwise he'd have moved a lot earlier. What's going to happen next season? What's going to happen if we learn him for a season? If he's good, then what's going to happen?
Yeah, we take him on full time. Well, Alex, we brought you on because you're a golfer, like Gareth Bale.
Yeah.
So from your sort of inside knowledge of the Lynx, the Lynx effect, which is clearly taking effect on Gareth Bale, what are your thoughts on this? Obviously, not really about golf, but you know what I mean.
My thoughts on Bale is that if we're not going to get Sancho, which is really not looking likely now, I think we need to get another forward player of some description for next season. Because I think if we go into next season with the five we've got, which is Greenwood, Ighalo, Martial, Rashford, Dan James, I think we're short at least one.
Yeah.
I think we need someone. I think if Bale could come in and do that, and I think that United have to be the ones that come in and go, right, number one, you aren't going to be our best player for a year. That's the first thing. You are going to be on, we'll match De Gea's wages if you're going to come in at most. You know, that's what you're going to get paid. And it's for 12 months, and then you're gone. That's it. There's no, it doesn't matter how good you are, you're gone. You're going back to Madrid. We're not upping your wages, nothing. Because that was the thing with we've mentioned Sanchez, that Sanchez came in and he was on too much money. He broke everything and there was no way of getting out of it. If we have in, it's 12 months, he's coming in, he's playing, gives an option and then off you go, I think there's a possibility he could do
so. With a loan though, isn't it normally like kind of an agreement between the two teams on how they kind of do the wage structure? So it's not like United are going to take on the burden on his whole wage.
No.
It's obviously going to be probably a split agreement between the two. So I don't know if it's going to be that much of a detrimental effect financially.
But the thing with Bale is, even when he was on form, he was still injury prone. Like his whole time at Madrid, he's missed a lot of games every season through injury, or maybe one season where he played 30, 40 games. But even Gareth Bale, with full intensity, full effort, full energy, who hasn't had years of injuries taking the toll on his body, even then he gets injured all the time, let alone a slower version of Gareth Bale, who clearly has had his head turned by things other than football, who doesn't seem arsed anymore, who's won three Champions Leagues, who doesn't need to prove himself, and he's earning 600 grand a week at Real Madrid. What mindset is that to sort of overcome in, 5 days.
Well,
United stopped. He hasn't got the luxury of a long pre-season to get in the zone, to get in the team spirit. You mentioned about Solskjaer trying to get rid of mercenaries. This is literally
acquiring.
He is the mercenary meme of Europe at the moment, Gareth Bale, isn't he? Literally the golf, Wales golf, Real Madrid in that order. So now is it Wales golf, Man United in that order?
I thought about this for a little while myself. And to begin with, I was like you, Alex, in that I thought that maybe if we add him for a year, then it's a stopgap, and it does add quality. He does add quality to that team for a year. But if you think about it more long term, all we're doing is delaying a problem until next year.
Yeah.
Because next year we're going to go back into in for Sancho.
Back into Sancho.
He's back into Sancho.
Dive in, grab it.
What a porn film that'd be. Back into Sancho.
2021. Back into Sancho.
A bit too progressive.
All that's happening is we're delaying this problem a year. Yeah. Sancho's price is going to increase and more teams are going to be in for him.
And also, Real Madrid will have had Bale's wages off their books for a year, so they'll be able to afford it.
Exactly.
We're just giving another team an option to buy our player.
For example, look at Liverpool. Salah will be 30 by that time. They'll want to replace him.
Yeah.
We're just giving ourselves a year. We're giving everyone time to get in for someone who is going to be one of the best players in the world, if not already is. It's insane to me.
Yeah,
we're in a sinking ship and we're plugging it with one of our fingers.
Yeah, plugging it with the rubber end of a golf club.
Now, as you said though, it's inevitable that next season it's going to be, if Sancho kind of continues the form that he should do, obviously in that league, attacking and quick
do you think
it suits him. It's just gonna. It's a bidding war waiting to happen.
Barcelona might got their shit together by then. Real Madrid might have money to spend again by then because they went. What was it? 300 odd million they spent last summer. Next summer they might have 150 available. PSG might have sold Neymar by then and have money available. City, Chelsea, Liverpool. Like at the minute, it seems it's United or Dortmund.
Yeah,
we won't have that luxury.
If Barcelona came in, it's trouble.
Because
I remember hearing a little bit that he would. He would look
inside knowledge from Ronaldo.
Nah, but saying Barca would be
Say no more, mate.
Barca would interest him, but obviously Barca haven't really gone in for him. But if Barcelona do come knocking, you're not gonna exactly say no.
the thing is he's a right winger, isn't he? And right now they've got Messi in that position, and Lord knows they don't need to piss him off anymore than they already have done. Exactly.
But if he goes next,
for me personally, if we're this ambitious club that we should be,
we pretend to be. We can do things in the transfer market that other clubs can only dream of. I believe was a quote from Ed Woodward.
The crazy thing is right now we have a free run at £100 million player that would walk straight into our team, be our number seven, and quite probably be the best, you know,
maybe our best
one
player.
one of the best players in the world for the next 10 years, right? It should be a no-brainer for us. Yeah. Unless, it should be a no-brainer.
Is there a possibility that we just don't have the money? Is there any way that we can conceive of that notion that
Dortmund,
we just don't have 120
Dortmund
million to spend?
Dortmund have said that they are happy to take it in instalments.
Have they?
What they don't want
to... I feel like the whole time they've been saying that they're not happy to do that.
No, they're happy to go like 40 million this season, 50 million the next season. What they're not happy to do is add-ons, you know, like this fucking 20 million if you win the Ballon d'Or bullshit that United try pulling all the time.
Which they got with Martial, which has probably worked out in the end with Martial, but... I don't know, I think that United are a little bit, they are using the COVID thing a little bit and saying that the money's just not there, and in 12 months time everyone's saying yes, they're going to be back into it, but United might be in a better position to go, we've got the money now. But I know everyone else is as well.
United definitely do have the money. I just feel like it's,
I just saw that graph. In the last few days, how much money has been spent by owners or taken out of the club by owners. I'm sure everyone's seen it. If you haven't, United are at the bottom of the list in the Premier League. We're one of, I think, five clubs whose owners have actually taken money out of their club, and it's around £90 million in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Whereas you look at Chelsea, Abramovich has spent £440 million. I think Everton were second with £299 million. Yeah. First of all, how Everton haven't failed... financial fair play, because they ain't making no fucking money at all.
I feel like they've done it the past three summers where they went and bought like three, like
they spent 50 million on Sigurdsson like 4 years ago. How are they getting money?
Where are they getting
Sunderland
money from?
With blue shirts on.
It's Liverpool,
and they spent £300 million in the
dodgy
last 5 years.
Dodgy stuff going on there, isn't it?
It is dodgy. That's someone needs to look at them. Chelsea have had a transfer ban in that time, and they've only spent about £120 million more than Everton, who have won.
And Everton went
Chelsea at least won the Europa League last season. Or the season before. Everton are like flailing around mid-table spending Real Madrid money,
but they spend it on dog shit as well, don't they? Except, like Alex Iwobi.
You went very X Factor today.
How much did Yerry Mina. How much?
Imagine if that was how they announced it. Luca Dean.
Gladiator is ready. But how much did he sign Richarlison for?
Richarlison was like,
was he like 50 mil as well? Yeah. Is that,
he's class though.
He's good.
He's good though. Got to
can't finish player. For shit though.
No.
Did you see him against Spurs?
Should we talk a little bit? Yeah. We'll talk a bit about the games. Get your comments in as well. Cam will be bringing some comments up on the screen. What do you think to Gareth Bale? Do you think he will just be a Sanchez 2.0? Or is there enough of a player left for us to take him for a season? Let us know what you think, and we'll get those up on the screen in a minute. But let's talk a little bit about the Premier League this season. Obviously, I mean, Ronaldo's hungry and he's just crackling a big bag of sweets around like Augustus Gloop over there in the corner.
Do you know what? If there was one of us out of us four that was going to be eating a bag of Haribo, then you wouldn't expect it to be the football player.
No, you wouldn't, would you?
Hey, I'm not a
we
football
ate our
player.
Haribo before we were alive. Whereas he just had to have it now. A lot of games played this weekend. Am I the only one who, like last week leading up to these games, it felt there was no fanfare, no excitement, no build-up to the season at all. And it just sort of happened on Saturday, like 12:30. Oh, Arsenal are playing. It sort of crept up out of nowhere.
You know why? It's because in times past, obviously, the gap's obviously bigger between the end of the season to the start of the next.
Mm.
But it's just like gap between it is usually non-eventful. Whereas life now is just
carnage.
Yeah. Just carnage is always something happening.
Yeah. So but also, teams like Arsenal and, Fulham and these sorts of teams, they stopped playing it like mid-July. They stopped playing like 2 months ago.
So short.
Which is a relatively, it's not quite as long as usual, but it's not. United stopped like 3 weeks ago. Most teams have had a lot longer than that. Alex, do you know about Beerhawk?
A little bit, but not too much.
Well, you should know a bit more because Beer Hawk is a craft beer shop and they do UK delivery to your doorstep with free delivery on orders over £50.
Free?
Yeah, free. They do loads of stuff. So they're the UK's leading online beer shop. They deliver the best craft beer available directly to your door. They've got over 1,000 beers. Like I said, it's free delivery on any order over £50. Great for gifts, great for memberships. You earn beer tokens every time you order. It's great as well because they've got such a big stock, so many beers to choose from. You can pick what's your favourite lager, you can buy it, or you can try something new every single time and literally never run out of beers. We've got a little selection here. We've got a Lazy Boy Lager.
Stephen Housen's
a big fan of that one. Yeah, we've got Camden fan. Hells, which some of you might have had before, but then there's a bit more obscure stuff you like. What's that one?
Yeah, the Vocation Brewery Yakima Pilsner. It's nice.
The great thing as well, coming up this Oktoberfest, it's cancelled in real life.
I know, you can't go out and dance on tables and throw beer at people.
Well, you can, but you just have to do it in your own home.
Right, okay.
Because to celebrate in the comfort of your own home with Beer Hawk's range of Oktoberfest beery packs. These are official Oktoberfest beers, and they come with a stein for that authentic touch. Ooh. But the only problem is the cases are extremely limited, so get your Oktoberfest at home case now. Do you want to know something else, Alex?
Go on.
We love beer. We like a beer, don't we, from time to time?
Now and again.
There's no problems with that.
Watch along now and again.
But sometimes you think this beer delivery system isn't ideal. That's why Perfect Draft has been brought to you by Beer Hawk, and it's the home of the beer pump dispenser, Perfect Draft. What is Perfect Draft? You don't even know. You've got a face like a disappointed coin. Perfect Draft is the ultimate way to enjoy a pint at home. The beer keg dispenser is able to pour the perfect pint. Why use Perfect Draft? Because it's the best way to enjoy a fresh, chilled, pub quality draft beer in your own home. And you can choose from over 40 kegs. That's more kegs than you've got.
Yep.
Isn't it?
Maybe one or two more.
It is, yeah. And after an unprecedented demand, stock is now back available, hugely popular during lockdown, and they couldn't even keep up with demand over at Beer Hawk. So make sure you get one now. Perfect Draft, and there's free delivery on Perfect Draft as well, which is absolutely sensational.
Fantastic.
So for the Perfect Draft machine to enjoy fresh, chilled, bar quality draft beer in your own home, head to www.beerhawk.co.uk and use promo code United to get 10% off your order. That is www.beerhawk.co.uk and offer code United to get 10% off your order. But it just sort of came out of nowhere. We were talking before about the games we watched. You watched Arsenal Fulham, didn't you?
Yeah.
Arsenal are going to win the league, aren't they? Are they not? Surely. If you went on Twitter, you would assume they were.
I watched the first hour or so of that game. And to be fair, when I was watching the start, Fulham were outplaying them. In my eyes.
Do you think?
I thought Fulham were playing decent football to begin with.
I thought they were poor, man.
But they looked a bit... I didn't think Arsenal looked that great when I was watching. But
I don't think they needed to. I don't think they needed to get out of first gear. Nah, it was... For me, I look at that Fulham team and I think, ugh.
Everyone says that, everyone's anti-Fulham all the time.
Yeah, but if they'd have put Mitrovic on to start with, who's just an absolute, he's just an animal, isn't he?
He was carrying a knock.
At least there's something there, you go, they're just going to put up to him and just go near where Arsenal centre-halves are and just put, but they had nothing, did they? They just like... Because I know, soft, as they're not Arsenal, that good at football.
Yeah, Arsenal centre backs and just Arsenal, the way they've been kind of soft centred for years now. I feel like if you saw Mitrovic on the team sheet, they're a bit panicky. But
well, do you know how they tried to sort of remedy that? Is that they stuck Xhaka and Elneny in the middle, and that is a tough tackling like centre mid. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And I don't know. I saw in Arsenal at the end of last season under Arteta, I saw a tougher, more resilient, more pressing, more hungry side. And it was only a glimpse, but it was something that I hadn't seen in an Arsenal team for a decade.
Mm.
Not since Keown. Do you know what I mean? Like, ages and ages. Not since Keown and Adams.
Whenever you think Arsenal, you think just a little bit soft. A little bit like if they're playing a bottom side or a side they should beat, but they're a little bit onto him, the other team, a bit physical with them, then they just kind of... They don't rise to the challenge. It's usually, I think, I'm watching Arsenal, I just think they could get beat by anyone on any day, or they could beat anyone on any, like, a bit of a tongue twister. Mm. They could either beat anyone on their day, but they could also lose to absolutely anyone.
Yeah, that feeling that they're not hard to beat, unless they're hard to beat kind of thing. Like they can lose at any time, but they can also come to Old Trafford and beat United 3-1.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I think they're going to miss out. I think they've not quite got enough depth-wise, especially at the back.
I mean,
they started with Holding, Gabriel, and Tierney. Now, that's okay, but as soon as you drop one of them out, it is bringing
also,
in
we don't have
David Luiz.
No, it's not necessarily bringing in David Luiz because they've got William Saliba now.
He's good as well, who
looks like he's good. Kieran Tierney, I think, is a really good player.
I'm not sold on Tierney.
Are you not?
Everyone else seems to be, though,
don't they? When I've watched, I'm not completely sold on Tierney. I don't see anything special about him.
I think he looks better when he's... Because he was part of a back three with Maitland-Niles on the left.
Yeah.
But Tierney, I think, is better when he plays in that wing-back position when he's given licence to go forward and get in the box more, which I think wasn't really the case as much as he would have liked.
They had Maitland-Niles on some, like, Lampard...
He was making inside runs, wasn't he?
I'm sick of talking about Arsenal.
Can we move on?
Yeah, this shit. They're not going to win the league and this shit. Did anyone watch Everton Spurs? Speaking of not going to win the league and shit.
I've only seen highlights. I was out.
I watched it.
Did you watch it?
I watched it. I thought Everton looked pretty good. Tottenham just looked... They looked late. Mourinho said it, didn't they,
2 years ago?
Sadly, yeah. But they had... What's worrying with... them is they have better players because I think if we had Moura, Son or Harry Kane, I think they'd definitely get into our team. I think one of them would definitely get into our team.
I'm not convinced Moura would.
I'd put Moura on that right hand side for United.
I would play him over Greenwood. He doesn't get any goals. I would play Greenwood over Moura. I think he's a good option for United.
And I think that three, Kane, they look lazy.
Kane on the weekend proved exactly what I've always said. Good goal scorer, lethal. But when... Tottenham aren't really in the game or not dominating, he just fades. I think it's because of he's not exactly mobile, is he? Yeah. He's not, don't run channels, he doesn't do the extra bits. It's literally, he's a final third player. Mm. And if it don't happen for him, you literally go the whole game without noticing it.
Yeah, if the team aren't getting the ball in up to that final third, like I said, there's been a lot of games against Man United where he's had like four touches.
He has like four touches.
None in our box and stuff.
I'm surprised Mourinho didn't sign a centre midfielder because that Højbjerg looked really poor. Didn't that Højbjerg and
Higgs? He signed in.
That's how he signed. How at Spurs do you go and sign Højbjerg and he goes straight
and
into your centre midfield?
He's considering the players that Tottenham have let go, not even like under Mourinho, like Dembele, I still don't know why they just let him go. He's a quality player. I mean, they let go of Eriksen. Obviously, everyone's seen why they let go of Eriksen because he just really didn't want to be there anymore. But even players like Wanyama, surely they do a better job than what they were doing. They were so poor.
The big problem for me with Spurs is I look at that team and, to be honest, ever since Eriksen went completely off the boil, I look at that team and I go, who's the creative player there? No. Who's going to make it happen? Dele Alli, maybe? No.
Sometimes, but doesn't
really have a huge creative output.
Quite a hit and miss, isn't it?
You look at Kane and Son and Moura, who are lethal players, but they're only as good as the ammunition that they're being given, and they don't get given any.
No.
And they go and sign Højbjerg, who is, you know, a tough tackling, robust player, but he's not going to get 10 assists a season, is he?
I think that's the stats he had. Højbjerg's stats last season, he had the most recoveries or tackles.
Yeah, I think he's had the most tackles in the Premier League over the last 3 years, they said. Because they compared it to Alan, who had... for Everton, who had the most tackles in Serie A in the previous 3 years as well, who I personally thought looked very good. Because that's the difference. Everton, I think, always look a bit soft in midfield. They would have Gomez or they'd have Sigurdsson in there. People who are decent on the ball but don't want to get back. Yeah. Whereas now they've smacked Decore and Allen in behind those players. And you've still got Andre Gomez there who can find people. And now you've got... James Rodriguez on the right.
They look solid.
They look
man.
Much better to me.
They look well balanced.
Yeah.
They look.
It's good balance to the team now.
They just look really good.
Also, I think the Sky Sports pundits and us generally, Rodriguez is the sort of player that everyone's sort of had their arm for about 7 years, especially United fans. We've been linked with him non-stop. Yeah. Alan's one of those players who the sort of hipster football fans have kind of always been like, you know, there's this guy in Italy who gets a lot of tackles in. Yeah. And I think they've got a team now full of players who, same with Decore, everyone was like, there's this guy at Watford who would improve United's first team. I think they've got a team full of players that people like. So it seemed as though even before the game, everyone was like, keep an eye out for this Everton team. They're going to be really good. And then they look quite good. And everyone was like, Ancelotti's cracked it. Where it's like, it's one game. Come on.
Well, to be honest with you, I really like the idea of getting James Rodriguez, giving him kind of free reign and having... two massive workhorses in Decore and Allen just behind him to do all the running and let James Rodriguez have that creative license. We were speaking before about how there's some players that really have to, the only way that they really shine is when an entire team is built around them. And once they are a cog in a machine of other talented players, they kind of get a bit lost. And I feel like what Rodriguez needs is he needs to be the focal point, the absolute star, the diamond in that team.
Which he was for Colombia. Yeah. That's what made him win the World Cup, unbelievable.
Do you know, a great example of that is Gylfi Sigurdsson. So you look at Gylfi Sigurdsson at Swansea.
What a great
player he was, because everything went through him.
Every free kick, every corner.
Exactly.
He took every one of those, man.
He moves over to Everton for
50 million.
Stupid Everton. Gylfi Sigurdsson! That's what they did to announce him. So he moves over to Goodison Park and he looks at best average because he doesn't have that license now where everything goes through him. And he needs that as a player. Rodriguez will 100% get that at Everton.
Yeah, he will. Because he's just a bigger name.
It's going to be
I think he's better as well. He looked a quality above than the rest of them.
I think they did a good thing by having that three midfield with Gomez, Doucouré and Allen and putting Rodriguez on the right. It's a similar thing that we saw with Mata at United, where because he's physically, they're not sure how robust he is, how much he's going to turn the ball over, that sort of thing. If you give the ball out on the right, they still have to sort of break and find the way to goal. Whereas if you give it away in the middle, it's a much quicker path to goal. And is that something that Van Gaal did with Mata, putting him on the right-hand side? Because occasionally you get chucked off the ball and then there's a counter-attack against you down the middle of the pitch. Whereas I think doing it that way around, if Rodriguez loses it out on the right-hand side, it's a more difficult path to goal for whoever the opposition is. So, yeah, they look much better to me. And Calvert-Lewin makes shitloads of runs in behind as well, so they'll probably be all right. But
I kept thinking, watching Rodriguez go, though, thinking how different it would be if United had assigned him.
Yeah.
There's so many times we've been linked with him, and I kind of thought at one point...
What did Everton get him for?
22 million.
It would have been 50, 60 for United, though.
He'd have come in and everyone would have gone, United, oh my more. God, why isn't he the best player in the universe playing today? And
the expectations are just different
at
Everton.
He's dead low with Everton, and I think he'll do well there. I think he'll probably... But I think that's his level now. I don't think he's gonna move. That's his level.
He's also like 29, isn't he?
29.
I think if he goes any higher, if he tries at United, if he went somewhere else, I just don't think he'd do it. I think there'd be too much pressure on him. And like you said, I think he needs to be the star man. I don't think he'd be
on the age thing. I don't think players nowadays age as fast. You know, like back in the day, everyone said after 28, they're finished. I think players. I think players do keep their peak for a little bit longer now. I have noticed. Yeah. Look at
100%. 100%.
I don't think 29 is old anymore.
No, you're right. Players are playing 33, 34, 35. Robin played for Groningen at the weekend. He's 36.
Yeah, Stanley Matthews played till he was 50. And that was people playing their 40s was much more common in the 60s.
Yeah, also Aubameyang, 31.
Yeah, but the reason that Stanley Matthews played till he was 50 in the 60s is because like the left back was having a fag at half time. And
he just didn't have a fag. That was it.
Do you know what I mean? Like the centre back was about 22 stone and shit.
Yeah, I know, but I think it's roughly similar. We've got a comment here from Rashid saying, forget Sancho, sign Adama Traore. Does anyone want that?
I wouldn't mind that.
Really?
Not forget Sancho part, though. But Adama's a bit of a beast.
Has he got the finesse and the... He's good. And obviously
he improved that quite a lot.
He's a great dribbler and he's very quick and those sorts of things. But does he have the vision and the assisting ability that Sancho's got?
The thing is, he gained that last season.
He did a bit, but I don't think he ain't got that natural touch and quality,
but if he's improved,
silkiness that Sancho's got, though, has it?
No, he hasn't. But I'm not saying it's not one or the other. I'm just saying that Adama Traore. But then again, like the same way that Alex said, you don't know whether Wolves might be Traore's level. Like he looks the player he is playing for them.
I think as well with all these, there's a lot of talk about replacements, and like Traore is one of them that gets brought up all the time. And I think that this is why I'm sort of leaning towards the let's get a Bale or a Douglas Costa people have been talking about as well. If you can get someone on that level that's just going to do a year of this, it leaves the option to sign Sancho next summer. I know that if we sign Adama Traore, which will probably cost us 70, 80 million
because we're
Manchester United. Does that say we're never going to get Sancho? Because that's probably what United want to spend on Sancho right now with add-ons and things like that. If we sign Adama Traore for 80 million, I think Sancho's done. I think that bit is sold. I think we move on to somewhere else. And I think I'd rather get someone a Bale. I said Douglas Costa would be another option where if you get him on loan, I think it'd be less wages than what Gareth Bale would be. Only
would
a little bit.
Really? Douglas Costa?
Just somewhat.
Not sold on Douglas.
Not at all. He's not been a good player for a long time.
Even then, when he was at Bayern, he was one of those players that everyone talked about how good he is. And I know this is a bit harsh to say, but some people are more of a FIFA player than they are a real life player.
He's a FIFA player.
He's a FIFA 100%. Player because he's got 96 pace.
And five star skills. But, yeah.
In real life, he's been a good player at his best. But he's not been even at his best for a few years, as far as I can see. It just seems like he's known for being very quick and skillful and not having the end
product. Do you know what the problem is? With United and obviously the status that we have,
yeah.
When we're looking for signings, it always seems to be like it has to be a star marquee name.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a no-go.
David Brooks.
For whatever reason. But we don't have enough of like finding them diamonds in the rough kind of players.
Is that because when you go for David Brooks, even though you know, if Everton were trying to sign him, he'd be 18 or 12 million.
David Brooks.
No, but I'm just saying, players who for any other club would cost 15 to 25 million, for United it's 40 million or fuck off.
And then
does that make a difference?
Yeah, but then the other option is the diamond in the rough, which is Dan James. We've signed him. He cost us 15 million. Great bargain.
And everyone
had an okay season, but now he's the worst footballer ever to grace the Premier League. Like there's...
When you move to United, you get licensed to be slagged
off.
So
if you don't get someone who's going to come in and go, I'm going to be the fucking best player.
Hit the ground running. That's what
I'm going to be the best player here, which I think that a Gareth Bale would do. If you don't do that, or you spend 120 million on a player, you're going to sign someone for like Adama Traore for 80, and the pressure's just going to be fucking hell. How tough's this for him?
But,
and he could.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, but I think that touches into a wider point that all top-level players need to have an elite mentality.
Of course, yeah.
They need to have that. And if you're playing for Man United, one of the biggest clubs in the world, you need to be able to deal with that level of pressure.
But, the thing is, a lot of these traits that go with being at Man United, it's hard to exhibit those traits when you're playing for Leeds or for Hull. So you let them go from Hull to Leicester, and you see that Harry Maguire's got some of that mentality where he can put up with the pressure and the stress, and then you buy him. So it's going to cost you more, but you gave them chance to flourish a little bit in that sort of intermediate level where you can say, actually, it looks like he's got that. He's playing for England now. He's played a World Cup as England's sort of number one choice centre-back now. I think it's hard to buy players at that level and expect them to come straight in. Ryan John Mitchell there saying, forget Costa, forget Bale. No chance we get Sancho next season at all. He's optimistic.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, you can tell he was optimistic.
Shit. Just play with 10 players.
You can tell he was optimistic. Yep. The way his name was... His name was in all caps.
All caps. Yeah. Nate
That's
Jackson,
always worrying.
United haven't paid 120 mil for the last 2 years. What makes you think we'll do it next year?
I mean, they did when we got Maguire and... Wan-Bissaka. Was that two years ago?
At the same time.
That was last summer.
That was last summer. Yeah. So they literally did it.
Lukaku.
Yeah.
For 80.
Nevertheless, if you're doing it one season or two seasons ago.
It's net spend, though, isn't it?
United have the money.
Yeah, we're a bit of a net spend shithouse team, aren't we?
I think
75 million net spend. Reguilon, then, let's talk a little about him. Fabrizio Romano has come out in the last hour and has said that talks progressing between Manchester United and Real Madrid to reach a total agreement on Sergio Reguilon. The two clubs are discussing buyback clause that United won't accept. Reguilon and his agents have positive feelings and he wants to join. We've talked a lot about Reguilon on this channel. Let's talk in specifically about this whole buyback clause, yes, no thing. Do you accept the idea of a buyback clause? Do you maybe accept a bit more the idea of a first refusal, something like that? But obviously, Real Madrid rate him very highly if they want this buyback clause because they're thinking he could be a world-class player. Would you be happy if United said, we're going to have to spend 45 million so that they won't pester us about this buyback clause? Or do you think there's a limit where United have to just go, again, we've got two players in this position. If they're trying to take the piss out of us, then we pull out. Or we just need someone.
Is it one of them where like Real Madrid are looking at it thinking, we like this player, we can see a potential in him, but he isn't for us now? So they don't mind selling him, but they just have that little bit of the thing in the back of their heads where they think, but if he goes to United and then rips it up, I want him back straight away.
Something like, imagine like James Garner, someone wanted to buy him, you or someone who's very promising, or someone wanted to buy Ted and Mengi or something, where you think, we know that this guy could do it.
But you're not sure, and it's like a bit... It's like just a safety net for Real Madrid. That's why United are
quite
against it.
But we're not here to be a safety net for other teams.
Make the buyback clause 100 million quid. And get any left back in the world for that. There you go.
No, I mean,
get Alexander Butner back.
There shouldn't be... Oh, fuck it out.
Player.
I feel like that's the last left back.
There shouldn't be any buyback clause for any player. Real Madrid try and pull sneaky shit like this all of the time. Yeah. There shouldn't be any buyback clause for two reasons. Number one... It shows, or it says, I think, that we are somehow a lower tier club than them, and that they can come back and take our players.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. We're one of the biggest clubs in the world. So are they. It's not a step down for Reguilón, and it shouldn't be painted as such.
No.
Number two, if we put in a buyback clause for them, what do we stand to gain from that? Because either he comes in and he's shit, in which case we've pissed away 30 million quid, or he becomes really good, in which case they'll take him off us and we'll have the same problem in 3 years.
And also, the buyback clause thing is, like I said, if you're Crystal Palace and they put a 50 million buyback clause in, it works for you because you spent 30 million on a player, which is a lot of money for you. So, you know, but he looks really good. So let's hope he's really good. Then we get 50 million for him in 2 years. Yeah. It works for a team like that. But if you're Man United,
we don't need to make money via
15 million extra quid we get for him if we sell him back.
We don't need to make money via selling players.
No.
So, and also, if you look at Real Madrid at the moment, they went out and bought Mendy, who is meant to be their left back forever. They've still got Marcelo, who's not that old.
Yeah, 31.
Right now, they don't need a third choice left back. No. They're just trying to play their cards in a way that will cover them in case Mendy turns shit and Reguilón turns amazing. Yeah. Then they can get that. We don't need to pander to that shit.
No,
we don't, man.
No, but we need someone, though. Don't we?
If we don't sign Sancho right now, we don't sign him a year from now, post-pandemic. Right now, we're currently the only one for him, so he's cheaper. Also, the concept of next year being post-pandemic...
I was going to say, I'm not sure next year
like
is post-pandemic.
In 2021, we even if we've got a vaccine that comes out tomorrow...
Is it not true that...
We are still very much... in this whole world for
What is the average time span of a pandemic? It is like quite a few years, isn't it? Usually,
If it's one like this where you're waiting for a vaccine, it can be a very long time.
The same possibly 2024, you know?
Yeah, so the idea that he's going to be, it's 40 million next year, because that's not going to happen.
Do you know what? I agree with what that person said as well. Like, if we don't get him now, I don't think we'll get him.
Oh, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. The only thing I was picking was
one of the things
I think we'll still be in a pandemic.
That I think I wanted to bring up, though, is I think United were hoping that Sancho would force a move away. Mm. I think that they were hoping that Sancho would start to kick off or something like that. And do you know what? I think it's brilliant that Sancho isn't that kind of character. I think it shows a lot about him that he's gone, I'm not going to force anything. This is the club that I'm with. I'm going to have to respect them. That, for me, makes me want him more.
It's partly that and partly the fact that if you're contracted to a club for two more years and then you go and say that, but they don't sell you, then you're basically fucked. It's just not smart for him to say, yeah, I want to leave.
Thank you for the super chat there, by the way.
You mean like Odin Wingy did at West Brom?
Driving to Carrington.
If Sancho came out, as much as he'd want him and said, I want to come to United, and Dortmund, I'm not selling you. So what you're going to do is you're going to sit and rot for 2 years for the rest of your contract.
But they wouldn't do that either, because that hurts them.
Well, not if just that.
If they've got a player that's worth
some clubs
million
are that
now,
vindictive.
Nah,
you know?
But Dortmund aren't. Dortmund just want cash. They're like a charity shop. They just get stuff in and then they sell it for way more money. Dortmund, no matter what, unless Sancho, you know, set fire to something. If he privately went to them and said, I really want to go, please let me go, I'm pounding an official transfer request. Next summer or next season, like he's already scored for him this season, he's going to get him 20 goals, 20 assists again. They can't afford not to play someone who's that good, because they'll get half the amount of money for him.
But
they just want money.
I genuinely love that it's in his character not to be that kind of person. As a lot of players nowadays, you know, would kick off and would moan and stuff. That makes me want him even more.
Yeah, well, look at it. You mean look at what happened with Eriksen at Spurs, where he said, I want a different challenge. And it took him 6 months extra to get that challenge. And by that point, he wasn't getting played. He wasn't quite on top form. And he ended up at Inter Milan. He probably wanted to go to Madrid, or even United, I think, was his options.
It's a PR damager, though, as well.
And
it's
not just
about that.
Even look at Pogba now. Whilst Pogba's playing fantastic football, there's still that thing with every single United fan I speak to that kind of goes, well, he said he wanted to leave, so he's shit.
Mm.
And I think that if goes Jadon Sancho, if he comes out and says, I'd like a new challenge even, and drops something like that in there, it would just...
I just think it's a different club with a different dynamic. It's not the... I don't think it's the same situation. Pogba, in theory, is the saviour of Manchester United, come back to win us big trophies. Jadon Sancho is there to stay for a few years, increases his fee, go for a world record or a club record fee. And that's... They're just different... They're not the same situation for each club, and there's not the same expectations at Dortmund as there is at Man United.
There is.
We bought Pogba for a Premier League record fee. Yeah. They got Sancho for, what was it, 6 million?
Well, there is something as well.
There's compensation. 11.
I don't think it's, you know, derogatory to say that Dortmund isn't a destination like United is. No. Dortmund is something that you go along the way. Mm. Whereas United...
And they're the best at that, in fairness to them.
But with United... It's somewhere that I think we all agree, we all at least have aspirations for top level players to go and spend the best part of their careers at. And Dortmund isn't that, is it?
No.
Like, as good as Dortmund have been, they've won one trophy in the last 9 years. Like, people talk about them like they're one of the best teams in Europe. They don't win anything.
Think about the players they've had as well.
Yeah, incredible players. We've got a comment from Scott Wilson on Facebook as well. Thank you for that. He said, the buyback clause has to be at least 2 times what we bought him for the first season and 2.5 times for the second season. I agree, though, with no buyback clauses to a club like Real. Yeah, unless it's, this, like you said, 100 million or whatever.
The problem with that, though...
Yeah. Something insane. And
I kind of understand what he's saying, but the problem with that is, let's say there was a buyback clause of 2 times what we paid for him. We pay 30 million for him. He ends up being class... And then Real Madrid decide that they want to buy him back for 60 million. So we now need a left back, and everyone knows that we've got 60 million. Yeah. Well, guess what? Every left back's 80 million.
You're getting Andy Carroll for 35 million.
Exactly.
That's what that situation
was.
Well,
not just it was the Bournemouth when Maguire got sold to us. Leicester went in for Ake. And Bournemouth went, well, he's 75 million quid.
Yeah.
And they kind of went, well, why? So, well, you've just signed, got 75 million quid, so why not?
The same thing's happening right now.
Negotiation tactics
you've got 75 million quid, so that's how much
he
costs.
The same thing happening right now with West Ham. They sold Diagana and they want Tarkowski, and Burnley like 50 million. And West Ham are like, well, no, come on. Mm. Like, well, we know you've got 50 million. We know you need it, so
go figure. If we're going to replace him, that's how much it'll cost us.
Exactly. So the price of anything is what somebody is willing to pay for it. And you're going to pay more if you need it. The thing is with Reguilon is, as much as I think he's a decent player, from what I've seen of him, and I'm not an expert, he's not a generational talent. He's not an Alphonso Davies or a Trent Alexander-Arnold. He's an upgrade on what we've got, probably. Mm. He's not going to be a world-class player. He'll just be a solid player for us. Why do we need to worry that Real Madrid are going to come in at some point and take him off us at any point during his career? We just don't need that shit.
No. The last thing you need on top of, you know, like you said, buying a player is... Oh, he can leave at any time. It's just, as a lot of people have said on social media, it's basically 30 million for a loan, isn't it?
It is a loan, isn't it?
Really? Yeah, it's 30 million loan, and if he's shit, you don't get any money back for him. If he's good, you haven't got your good left back anymore. Yeah. Stuart Lanny as well saying, Thiago Reguilón on Bale would be that good a window on top of Donny. Would that be a good window on top of Donny? My worry there is Thiago, big money, looking for his last big contract at the age of 29. Mm. Gareth Bale is already on ridiculous money at Real Madrid. Reguilón, I would like, but I would like Thiago, or I don't want.
Would
Bale,
you though? Because
I'm not sold on Thiago. I don't think.
No, I don't mean.
I don't think it's a necessity. His quality is one of the world's best midfielders, undoubtedly. Yeah. But I'm not sure he's an absolute necessity in a way that kind of the axis is with our midfield or the structure.
I totally agree with you.
But everyone seems really, really keen on it. I'm not sure.
He's going to want like 270, 280, 300 grand a week. Yeah. I don't think he's worth.
I don't know whether it's that kind of in the fan base. It's that kind of that childish thing where, oh, Liverpool want to get him, so we'll get him instead.
You mean
that thing that we did with Fred and Sanchez?
Yes, basically.
At an actual elite, like Edward would level.
And I'm taking him half because so you can't have him.
I totally agree with Ronaldo. Yeah. I think that Thiago is a beautiful player. I love watching him. He's amazing. But we already have Pogba and Bruno and, to an extent, Donny, who will all want to do a similar thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if we bought Thiago, where's he sitting? Where's he going to be in that midfield? I don't understand what he's there for.
I think he fits into the six a little bit better than any of them three do. I think he could play
all three of them, I don't think.
I think he could. I think if anything, I think
Bruno
he
Pogba
does.
Thiago.
Yeah, just.
I just don't think there's enough fight in it. There's not enough energy. Thiago's never played in a system where he's the most combative in that system. He's always had. Was there Xabi Alonso and Kimmich and Alves played at centre mid?
People are going to say
Xavi Martinez as well. Like,
listen, people are going to say Thiago's played a CDM or played deep for Bayern and that, but it's different playing holding mid for Bayern and in a league where they're pretty much miles better than every opposition. When you come to the Premier League and it offers a little bit of a different challenge. I don't know if you can go into a lot of games, against the lesser teams, but there's a lot where you want trying to be tactically strong, you want to be a bit robust. You're not going to be playing midfield of Thiago, Bruno and Pogba. It's a little bit...
Especially when it's United as well, and the position United are in. We're a huge team that has fallen down the league, who are trying to fight back up with a certain set of, an ethos that we've sort of cultivated in the last 18 months under Solskjaer. Yeah. I think... If he's going to City or some, like I said, at Bayern or a club where you're going to have a lot of the ball, you're expected to win a lot of games, you will win a lot of games, he'll look a certain way for them. But if he looks bad at United and he comes in that midfield and disrupts it and he's on twice as much as Bruno's on and all these sorts of things, I could see that transfer going sour very quickly.
But it's a very good point what you said Ronaldo, that the way that he plays at Bayern Munich, there's such a dominant force in German football that most of the time, their line is so high when they're playing, because they just crush teams. Their line is so high that even if he plays as a centre defensive midfielder, he's still three quarters of the way up the pitch because he's so high. Which I just feel like if United won't be able to play like that. And if you play Thiago as a centre defensive mid in a United formation, then you're losing half of the things that make Thiago great because he's being played so far down the pitch. Doesn't work for me. Doesn't work.
No, I agree. Before we go then, Shrey Kapila saying, is Donny van de Beek a panic transfer? What do you think, Ronaldo?
I don't think he's a panic transfer because it's a name that's been hovering around the United radar for a while. So it wasn't a panic transfer. It's not like it came out of the blue.
No.
It's a player that's been monitored by quite a few big clubs and United was one of them.
And it became increasingly apparent, didn't it, toward the end of the season that we need an alternative to Bruno Fernandes that can get goals and assists for us when he's not playing.
It's like we were saying last week, nobody really talks about like the last three games of the season where Bruno was pretty shit because he was fucking knackered. He was so tired. Now Donny coming in freshens up the whole team. Now you only need to go back 2 years for United to have one creative attacking player, Pogba, and it was so easy for teams to just mark him out of the game, and all of a sudden we were completely fucked. And you'd see it time and time again. We didn't know what to do. As soon as Bruno came in, huge difference, because you can't double up on Pogba like you used to, because you're leaving a player free now who will do serious damage.
Yeah.
You get Van de Beek in there as well. That's creativity all over the centre of the pitch with three lethal attackers. I don't think it's a panic buy.
No.
I think there's an awful lot of... I think it's clever, and I think it gives us an awful lot of depth. Mm.
I think as well, I think that the one thing it shows is Pogba is not going to play this weekend. He's only just got back training after being tested positive for coronavirus, and no one's panicking, because you kind of go, a midfield three of Van de Beek, Fernandes and Matic is still pretty good.
It's better than the midfield we had for the first 6 months of last season, which was an out of form Matic, McTominay and Lingard, or Pereira.
It was Fred, McTominay.
That midfield now, even without Paul Pogba, is better than our midfield for most of last season, like I said.
And I think that's what it does, and it allows us to change different formations. And the lad just looks class. He just like there's bits about him, and I think I didn't realise he's 6 foot. He's massive.
Six foot's massive.
He's massive compared to what I thought.
The bar is
compared to you lot.
He does look small, doesn't he? He has a small face.
I thought watching him against Chelsea in the Champions League, he looked fairly big. I'm not sure.
No, I didn't know that, but I was just thinking.
Do you know what it is? It's his eyes. Do you know when people have boggle eyes, like little boggly eyes like that come out? It's because you imagine that they've been squashed down and they've sort of,
squeezed in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
Little chap. We've got another super chat from Yomi saying Thiago sitting deep and recycling possessions and letting Pepe and Bruno do what they do best in the world. I have some difficulties with calling Paul Pogba Pepe. Other than that, I kind of see what you mean against certain teams. But you know, but if you put in, if we're up against Kante or teams that can rotate the ball and play through quite quickly and who have a robust midfield, I think that team.
Do you know
is
what? I think that what they're saying there makes sense when we have possession.
Yeah.
But when we don't have possession, let's be real. Who's winning the ball back?
Yeah.
There. And in, do you and know what
just,
I mean?
Not just sitting
not
deep,
really
but
in that, in it.
Exactly. Yeah. Now at Bayern Munich, he can recycle possession all he wants because Bayern are going to get 60-70% possession against every team. United will very seldom register over 55% possession against most teams because we like to play counter-attack anyway.
Yeah, we've pretty much changed our style. It's that fast-flowing kind of...
Exactly.
Yeah, which is good to watch, but it doesn't really suit so, midfield like that.
Totally. So I get what this person's saying. Yeah. It makes sense on paper, but when he's not around, when we don't have the ball, I don't get who's winning it back for us there. It looks lightweight in defence.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Right, that's going to be all from us for now. Thank you very much for coming on, Ronaldo. Thank you very much for coming on, Freddie. Great to have you on. We're going to be releasing a video at the weekend with Freddie, looking a little bit about how it is to be a, you know, a transfer tactician on social media.
And you've got a YouTube channel as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, massive, my YouTube subs channel. Oh,
it's going to be great.
No.
But it will be soon, so make sure you subscribe to Freddie Quinn Comedy on YouTube. Is that correct?
YouTube.com/Freddie Quinn Comedy. I am putting out some stuff super, like literally within the next couple of weeks.
Been
filming, so we've been filming comedy during the lockdown and stuff. And we've been filming it in loads of random locations, barns, gardens, bloody building sites, all over, crazy shit, right? Some of it massively illegal, but we'll deal with that problem when we come to it. And you can
You might as well incriminate yourself.
Massively illegally, so.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, you always have to do that.
Did you stand up in a care home? They all died, but fuck it.
So if you want to see that, go on Freddie's YouTube channel. We're going to be back tonight at 9 o'clock for the transfer show. That last thing you said was a joke.
It was a joke, sorry.
Clarify.
Wait, you didn't even say anything.
It was. Ronaldo's blanked out already. Thank you very much for joining us at home. Like I said, we're going to be back at 9 o'clock for the transfer show live, so we're going to be bringing you all the latest transfer news in that. Alex, I didn't say thank you too, so thanks for coming
on, mate.
Thank you for joining us at home, and we'll see you in a bit.
Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.